we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Friday. You now officially have 7 days until Christmas, and we hope that you are not letting the craziness get to you too badly out there, the pressure or all that, but hope that you are planning on having a Merry Christmas. We have a busy weekend ahead of us at Merritt Assembly of God. We had have our children's Christmas program Sunday morning, then I'll be preaching my Christmas message after that. And then we have our Christmas banquet Sunday night at 6:30. And again, as we consider you part of our extended church family, and so if you would like to come and hang out with some wonderful people, eat some delicious food, and you know, just hang out with us for a while, we would love to have you come and be a part of that. However, we do need you to RSVP at 454-4263. 454-4263. Today would be the last day that you would be able to do that so that we can make sure that we have enough food for you. So that is coming up. Also, as far as services next week, we do not have our Wednesday activities. We do have a Christmas Eve communion service. Back when I first came to Merritt Assembly of God, I didn't know of too many of those going on around. And so we started having one, and now there are an abundance, a plethora of communion services that are available throughout the county. We want to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God if you so desire. Ours is a little bit interactive in that we have a multimedia portion of that presentation. We sing a lot of songs, and we read the Christmas story, we celebrate communion, and then we go on our separate ways. Around our household, Christmas Eve is a big family get-together. Our service starts at 6 o'clock. It is done before 7 o'clock, and so we would encourage you, if you are able to come out and be a part of that, then, you know, we have our a family dinner that goes back to my wife's side of the family. This year we gave away gifts to our board and staff of some desserts that tie to my side of the family. But Christmas Eve, that is a typical Italian feast that my wife works really hard on. And we look forward to it every year. So we do have the Christmas Eve communion service. And then the Sunday after Christmas, December 27th, we have Luke Scott, a Major League Baseball player who's going to be with us, going to be sharing the Word of God and his testimony. So we would encourage you to come and be a part of that. That is our only service from Christmas until the following Sunday. We have Sunday morning service. We do not have Sunday school. We have Sunday morning. We don't have Sunday night. We don't have Wednesday the following week. We do have a church New Year's Eve thing where we go over and visit one of the families of the church. But 2016 is shaping up to be a interesting year, and we're planning for that. So want to just let you know about what is and what is not happening at Merritt Assembly of God. Yesterday, the clock got the best of me. I got right into the middle of a story and looked up, and the seconds were ticking away faster than what my mouth could speak. And I don't know about you, but 2015 has kind of been that way. I can remember saying, wow, we're 1 month into it. Wow, we're already a quarter of the way through it. We're halfway through. And now here we are. We're at the threshold of the end of 2015. And so I'm going to take you back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul, the station manager here, he said, man, the one thing I can't change about live radio is time. I can't give you more time. And I apologize for not getting the story in yesterday, but I'll set the stage here with the Word of God, and then we'll conclude that story. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 14, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Remember that this study that we are going through are things that we are supposed to remember or to remind ourselves. And so Paul is writing to Timothy, his son in the faith, and he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. So yesterday I was telling the story about a workplace where there was a person who showed up. They were not in the typical delivery person uniform. They were unknown to the people in the office. The package was not a normal package that they would receive, and they were trying to deliver it, and it was presented as a package that needed to be signed for. And the person that was there knew what was and was not the normal routine, and so they rejected the delivery. The delivery person insisted on it, to make a long story short, to get to the very end of it, the person, you know, forced the delivery person out of the office, the package out of the office, and said, no, and if you don't leave, we're going to call the authorities on that. And that was when the person said, it's okay. You know, I work for the same company, and you have done everything right. We were just wanting to make sure that this office was secure. This was a drill, and you have passed with flying colors. And so that is how that went. And so you and I, we need to make sure that we remember that we are working for the approval of God, not for the approval of men. And I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed to stand before God and say, God, you know, this is what I did. I did it to the best of my ability. I want to make sure that when I stand before him, listen, there was a time where I thought that I could dictate to God what my post was, what my assignment was, and God corrected that in improper theology on my part. Now, I understand that there are some people, and they operate on a different paradigm than that, but I know what God spoke into my life and what he corrected, and he said, look, I'm the one that makes the assignments. I'm God. I know what I want done there, and so it changed my mindset, and it changed my demeanor. It changed from a very discouraged mindset to a very determined mindset. And so my responsibility, my privilege, is to make sure that I make the most out of the ministry opportunity that God has given to us at Merit Assembly of God. It is to make the most out of the ministry opportunity that God has given us through this Refresh radio broadcast. And, you know, so what it did for me was it liberated me from comparing myself with other people and other churches. And I wouldn't be honest with you if I didn't say that from time to time there are flare-ups that happen in that comparison. But then I come to my senses and say, look, I'm not here to compare with this church or that church. I'm here to work as a workman who is approved by God. And sometimes when you are working for the approval of God, that is going to put you on the wrong side of the approval of men. And I want you to know that it's never a thrilling thing for me whenever I find myself on the side of disapproval of men. But when I know that I have the approval of God, it makes that unpleasurable season with men's disapproval a lot more doable. I'm able to get through it. When I know what the Word of God says and what God has told me to do, and my counselors, those in authority over me, have told me what to do, then I'm saying, you know what, if you know I find myself like Peter and John on the wrong side of the approval of men, then I just do. I'm you know, whether to do what is right in God's eyes or man's eyes, you have to decide. But I've already decided. I'm going to do what's approval, what is acceptable in God's eye. So let me go back, and it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed." I know that a lot of people here may attend large churches, and you might think that you can just slip in and hide among the crowds and then slip out. But I want you to know, God has called you to a ministry assignment. He has called you and equipped you and gifted you to be able to do a work assignment. And I don't really care who you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. God wants you in training. He wants you growing in the faith, and he wants you utilizing that faith by working in the ministry. And so whether that is cleaning the church or mowing the grass or taking care of the facilities, whether it is helping set up or helping with the technology or helping with the kids or with the youth or anything like that. Listen, I've been involved in the ministry since I was in my teenage years. My children have been involved in the ministry since before that. They have been very, very active in ministry, being on the worship team, you know, helping with the sound, helping with the children's ministry, basically doing whatever is necessary. So I want to encourage you that if you do not have a ministry assignment, to get one. The Bible talks about it, that there's not even an age requirement there, that if you are older, maybe you don't have the physical stamina that you used to have, but I'm telling you what, you may be gifted in the area of prayer to intercede. You may be gifted in the area of hospitality. I see some people around the community. Many of them I don't know, but I'm telling you that they bring joy to my life. I see certain people, and just the way that they carry themselves, I say, you know what? They may not be as young as they used to be, but they are out there and doing the best that they can. My grandmother is 101 years old, and when she goes out in public, she wants to be the best-looking 90-year-old that's out there. She goes out, and she's got a lot of energy. My mother can tell, you know, without looking, you know, whether my grandmother is back there, and she is very active, very sharp, and very, very funny. She is just such a joy. But I'm here to tell you that she doesn't want to be ashamed. She doesn't want to be disgraced when she goes out. And you and I, we need to work for God like we are working for God. God does not deserve less effort. He deserves our greatest effort. And so it says, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Every year at our district council, we have an ordination service, and I love what our district superintendent says. We normally have a speaker, and then when it comes time for the ordination aspect of it, the district superintendent comes and he gives a charge to those ministers who have reached ordination level, and he says this: preach the word. Now, he goes on and he says a lot of other things, but he says, preach the word. He also says, live the word, study the word. There are things like that. But when it comes to preaching, we are to preach the word of God. The Word of God is the Word of truth. There's no darkness in it. There's no deception in it. We just preach it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the Word goes forth, and it touches people's hearts and people's lives. So I encourage you to handle the Word of God properly. One of the projects that we support is a project called Fire Bibles. They are Pentecostal study Bibles that are produced. They've got all sorts of study notes in there because we have missionaries that go around the globe and they take these Bibles in the language of the ministers who are in that region. Those indigenous ministers are able to go places that missionaries cannot go. They don't have to go to language school. They already know the language. And so what we do is we provide them study Bibles because in many of these places, people may have a portion of the Word of God. They may have a limited access to the Word of God, but they may not have anyone there to guide them in their study. And I tell you why it is so important. And so every year we raise money for different translations so that these Bibles will go forth and people's lives will be enriched by it. Because at one of the meetings that I was in where they were discussing the need for these study helps, was they went into this area and there was a pastor who was actually encouraging his people that if, you know, the mark of the beast comes, you need to accept the mark of the beast because that's the only way you're going to be able to have access to food. And so you need this food to stay alive. And that was when the missionaries came along and said, no, that's not what that passage means. It doesn't mean that this mark is something you're supposed to do. They had to go and show him that the mark of the beast was actually a negative thing, not a positive thing, and God was going to judge those people who received it. And so it's important for us to rightly divide the Word of truth. I have had people who have told me, they said, the Bible says that I'm supposed to hate my mother and father, and so I want you to know I hate them, I despise them. And I said, you are not rightly handling the Word of God. You are misinterpreting what that passage says, because God says, Old Testament and New Testament, honor your father and mother, that you may live long in the land, that you may prosper, that you may enjoy long life. God's not going to tell you to honor and at the same time tell you to hate. And I said, you are misunderstanding what he is saying in that passage. And so we need to rightly divide the Word of truth. And so that's why it is so important for you and I to get good, sound, biblical teaching. There is so much spiritual confusion that is going on. There are people who think that there are things in the Bible that aren't in the Bible. They think that because they heard it on television that it's in the Bible. They think that because mama said it or grandma said it or you know, who somebody said it, that it's in the Bible. And I want you to know that even preachers sometimes get things mixed up. And so when you go to church, make sure you take your Bible with you, so that you can open it up, so that you can see it for yourself. So we want to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth. And so when I preach the Word of God. And, you know, what I try and do is make the Word of God as easily to be understood as I can possibly make it. Because I believe that God wants everyone to understand that word. It says, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Now, I want to remind you, the Bible says that where there are many words, sin is not far away. And so because I'm dealing here on a radio program, there are lots and lots of words. So if you ever hear something that comes across my lips, and it doesn't sound right, or it doesn't come across as being accurate with the Word of God, please let me know, because guess what? I'm not perfect. Don't think that I am unapproachable or anything like that, because I really am not. I like to be right, but I hate to be wrong even more. And I would rather somebody point something out where I might not have it correct at the first time, and then be able to make the adjustments to that the second time. So that's why I try and not do a whole lot of preaching from things that are going to distract from the Word of God. I like to focus on the Word of God. Now, let me move on down here, because I don't want to run out of time like I did yesterday. It talks about in verse number 17 and 18 that there were going to be people who, as they were teaching things, 16, 17, and 18, that those things that were not the word of truth, but were instead profane and idle babblings, that were going to lead more to more ungodliness. You see, the word of truth won't lead you to ungodliness. The word of truth will lead you to godliness. The problem is the message that leads to sin, it says in verse number 17, it can spread like cancer. It can spread. It just begins to run rampant. And here's the problem with it. It causes people who stray from the faith to overthrow the faith of other people. I want to live my life in such a way that it is not a stumbling block, but instead that it is a stepping stone to people to have a greater, vibrant relationship with Jesus than they've had in the past. Most of us can probably think of ministers who have fallen, teachers who have fallen, brothers and sisters in Christ who were once vibrant in their walk with God and now are no longer walking with Him. Most of us can think of somebody along those lines. And that can be a real blow to your faith. It can be a real distraction. So I want to point out to you verse number 19. I want to remind you about verse number 19. It says, nevertheless, if people have failed you, if people have disappointed you and let you down, remember, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His. Temptation may have overcome some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. It may not be as politically popular or socially as acceptable in 2015 to be a Christian, and there might be a lot of pressure and a lot of persecution. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. If they come and they try and take away your rights or your job, or nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. I want to encourage you to be eternally minded and not temporal minded, not focused on just this moment, but instead think about the solid foundation. You see, every building, I did a teaching on this earlier this year, and that is this: every building has got to have a foundation, a solid foundation. If it does not have a solid foundation, it is going to be limited and restricted as to how high you can go. And I want you to know that God is the only solid foundation. His Word is the only solid foundation. This Christmas is not going to be your best Christmas because your finances are better than they've ever been, or you were able to get a gift or to give a gift better than you've ever given before. The only reason that you should be able to have the best Christmas you've ever had is because the solid foundation of God is firmly established on your feet. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other things are sinking sand. I'd have to sing it to be able to get that. Nobody wants to hear that this morning. So I want to encourage you to make sure that you are not on shifting sand, that you are not on the broad path, but instead your life is being built on the solid foundation of God. These are reminders. There's lots of things that we could talk about in 1st and 2nd Timothy. And I want to conclude this week's broadcast with this from verse number 19. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And so I want to encourage you, or some translations have the name of the Lord there, that if you are in a relationship with Jesus, that your relationship with sin has changed. Iniquity is it's a synonym for sin or missing the mark or rebellion. There should be no rebellion in the hearts of the men and the women of God. Children of God behave differently than children of the world. They stand out. And so I hope that you have not embraced sin. I hope that as a child of God that you have not fallen into the devil's trap of trying to rationalize your sin or trying to justify your sin, but instead that you have come to that place of repentance where you renounce it, you have departed from it, and you flee from it. You see, we're not called to toy around with it, play with it. We are called to get as far away from that trap of the enemy as we possibly can get. And so I want to ask you today, have you departed? Is there anything you haven't departed from? Is there a habit that it's still got a hold on you and you don't have it, it's got you? Well, I want you to know that if you have one of those areas in your life, maybe your anger still gets the best of you, or you've got a life-controlling substance abuse problem, or you've got an addiction that you need to get a hold of, or you've got sexual sin going on in your life. I want to let you know today that Paul wanted Timothy to be reminded and to remind others that you need to run from that. There is no loophole of sin. There is nothing like that in God's eyes. He wants us to get rid of it all. So I'm gonna say a prayer to close out this week's broadcast. We'd love to see you on Sunday, but more importantly, we'd love to see sin being in your rearview mirror in the presence of God straight ahead. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, give us a new mindset, and that is to run from sin, because we can't run to you when we're running to it. God, forgive us and be the Lord of our life. May we be holy as you are holy. God bless you. Have a great weekend. We will see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away. Purify my heart. Don't wanna lose the eternal for the things that are passing.
'Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on?